All right, so welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm Keith, that's Jay over there. And this is podcast number 2, Parts Counter Gurus. Jay's got a very special topic for us today. It's near and dear to my heart as I sit on coastal Florida with planes buzzing overhead and the Blue Angels sometimes buzzing us. What's our topic today, Jay?
Winter driving. The very skilled and the very unskilled. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, there's so many places we could. So where do you want to start with that?
Well, I'd like to start with those that think that they can hold several items in their hands while they're driving through ice and snow and migrating to work on a day when they should actually stay inside. You know, if you're non-essential and if the rest of the weather forecasters are saying stay home, stay home.
So let me just ask you a question to make sure I understand what you're putting out there. So, and I know there's a lot of wind noise here. Unfortunately, it's not winter here, or it doesn't feel like it, and y'all just have to listen to the to the ocean breeze. So does that mean that I'm probably not as good of a driver as I think I am?
I think if
I'm listening to this podcast right now and I think I'm the world's best driver, is that, are you saying that's probably not true?
Probably not true.
So,
probably not true.
Should I leave for work at the regular time? During one of these inclement weather conditions?
Absolutely not. That's the problem we have, is everybody still wants to have that cup of coffee, that paper, and that whatever they do in the morning before they go. There's no preparedness, even though the forecast the night before said you should be ready and leave early.
So, as I would tell my kid, you made your choice, now you have to live with it. So if I leave at the regular time, is it okay for me to get in the HOV lane and do like 95 miles an hour while I've got like a coffee and my cell phone over here and, you know, maybe trying to share?
I'm gonna go with a no on that. I think that I'm sure you've seen those drivers not only in the HOV lane but every other lane. Apparently, the inside lane is an outside pass lane to the right of the vehicle. To get around you in those types of conditions.
Oh, any. Actually, it doesn't even take a full lane. You can just use whatever daylight. You're kind of like a running back, man. If you see daylight, you just run through it, right?
Pretty
bounce
much.
Bounce off.
Pretty much.
So I should probably surmise from what you're telling me that if I leave at the regular time and I'm dealing with inclement weather conditions, it's probably better to just take my lumps and be late.
Absolutely. Or stay home. Take a sick day.
But I've done this before, and it's always worked out.
You ever hear of a game called roulette?
Did you know this is where we were going to go with this when you threw this topic at me?
No, not really, but that's okay because it's true. It's funny. I don't know. I actually consider myself a good winter driver, but there's a lot of people out there that do not fit that bill.
I'm also the guy drinking coffee and trying to text somebody. And don't get me wrong, folks at home or in your car, wherever you are, I will have a cup of coffee with me. I'm just not going to make 3 lane changes at 75 miles an hour, 6 inches from the bumper behind me in, 3 inches of snow while chugging, a big gulp. It's just not it.
Absolutely. And really, honestly, Keith, I mean, there's 3 basic rules to driving in the snow. There is no rules when it comes to ice. The bottom line is if there's ice on the highway, don't get out there. Even a 4-wheel drive will not do you any good. Unless, of course, you have chains or spiked tires, the appropriate gear. Otherwise, you're going to be on the 6 o'clock news. I mean,
well, mission accomplished.
Right. But I mean, the three rules are basically, you know, be patient, keep your distance, and stay in your lane.
Now,
that's it.
Now, wait a second. I feel like we need to clarify these on a point by point basis, because that might not be clear enough.
I agree. So let's take it step by step.
All right. So be patient. So that means I let one car go, and then I jam on the gas and go, no matter what.
No.
But I was patient. I let somebody go. What? I don't understand.
Not patient enough. Let me show you where the toaster is. Okay.
Okay.
So where we're going with that is that at any time you're driving out there, guys, and it's snowing in these types of conditions, the patience means to wait your turn, to be conscious of what's behind you, what's in front of you, and what's beside you, and allow those things to take place. Because if you do not, and you insert yourself into any of those positions before it's your turn, you're going to cause a pileup. You're going to cause problems. It's going to be a chain reaction. I see it so often when people are trying to get up the hill. And let's face it, when you're driving in those conditions, you got to have a little momentum.
So, okay, so wait. So I should let the guy incoming. I should let the guy going up the hill in front of me get about halfway up, then jam on the gas and go, right?
The guy in front of you get over the hill before you go.
All the way? But I mean, he's moving, man. I can tell he's going to make it.
It's that little thing called gravity.
All right. So, you know, and that's an interesting. So probably two or three more times the space than you would think you need, because I like to think of it like this. I always anticipate there being ice everywhere. And I see a stop sign up there and it's snowing, and I go, okay, well, let's just pretend that this is a patch of ice from here to that stop sign, and I better start slowing down now.
Right.
Because inevitably that's how you get bit, is there ends up being a patch of ice somewhere and you're doing your normal driving routine and you end up sideways in the ditch. And what's worse, you end up sideways in the ditch with me, and now I'm... So,
who's calling the tow truck? That's what we want to know. And guess what? Yeah. When you call, he's going to say, be patient.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he's out there trying to help out all the other impatient customers.
All right. So what was your second point? I got so wrapped up in the first point that I was excited and I forgot the other two.
You know, the bottom line is you need to stay in your lane. You need to stay in your lane, unless that lane is obstructed and you can change lanes. You don't want to change lanes at a high rate of speed, and you must know, I mean, let's face it, they plow. You may have to go through that snow that's been plowed, and just understand when you get over there, it's going to be slicker. It's going to be deeper and you may spin out. So that's why you want to come to a very slow speed before changing that lane.
Okay,
otherwise, just stay in your lane.
But if it's what if I think I got this. So I need to stay in my lane, and then when I want to, then that lane becomes my lane when I decide, and then that lane becomes my lane. But I'm staying in my lane the whole time, right? When when is it okay to change lanes?
When there's obstruction in front of you, that is when it's okay to change lanes. That's it. Bottom line. Otherwise, stay in your lane.
So you
if
said
the
something
traffic
earlier.
Is moving,
you said you made reference to things around you and being patient until there was nothing. See, I was actually listening, even though I was pretending not to. Somebody's got to play the part, man. What about if I want to change lanes and not just in front of me, but, you know, what about, like, when is it safe around me?
when there's no one around you. That's when it's safe around you.
Oh, wait. I mean, it's that simple? Like,
it's that easy. Just look around you. Rearview mirror, side view mirrors, you know.
Now, look around. Is there an app for that that I can use to look? I mean, do I have to actually...
You know, like head spin. Yeah, it's your God-given app. It's right here. It's called head brain between ears. So, use your brain, people.
You know, I've got an idea to pitch to the audience here, but I'm gonna save this until after we cover your third point, because these are fantastic. So what would point number three be?
God, it slipped my mind. You remind me.
So let's see. We have be patient, wait your turn. You're driving here, man. I'm in the back seat telling you how to do it. I'm not actually capable of doing better. I just pretend I am.
Well, we have to be prepared for that drive-in. That is for sure.
Oh, right.
We have to be prepared for that drive-in. Period. You know, you got to allow yourself enough time. We talked about that. That's part of the be patient side of it.
Now, now let's elaborate on that just a little bit. So my car's pretty good. It's newish, and mm-hmm. You know, it gets hot. The engine heats up. So, like fast. You know, like into my neighborhood fast. So sometimes it's kind of fun to just scratch off like about that much ice off the windshield, just so I can sort of see out. Like I'm in one of those World War II gun turret bunkers. You know, and I'm just kind of peeking out through the crack. And drive through the neighborhood, because I know by the time I get to my end of my street that it, you know, the defrosters will be hot enough to take care of the rest of the ice. That's cool, right?
Right. Yeah. Sure. No.
Driving. You know.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, it's crazy. I've seen. You're absolutely right. I've seen vehicles running down the road that they're literally on the inside going. You know, just they're wiping it down. It's freezing. The defrost is not working. They're holding a cup of coffee to the windshield just so that the warmth from their coffee will give them a spot to look through. You know, it's just it's quite interesting. So no doubt the preparation there to clear the windshield. You know, you got to be prepared before you get on the highway, period. So,
yeah, I would imagine it's not very much fun to thump a couple kids at the bus stop on your way out of the neighborhood.
No, not at all. But let's hope on a day like that that the, especially if you're in the South, there's no kids going to school. We know that, right?
Right. That's true.
You know, the South has, you know, the South has no idea how to drive in the winter conditions. Is that right? Yeah.
It's true. And then, in fact, they just get on the local news and just talk about snow, and everything's canceled. And if you think I'm kidding, go look it up.
No, I know this is true. I've lived that dream.
So here's my idea that I wanted to pitch is, this is going to be for you Elon Musk types out there, but, how about a vehicle registration system? I'll use Amazon as a reference. You know, we're all familiar with the review system. Most of us are familiar with the review system on Amazon, you know, 4 or 5 stars, up to 5 stars, I think it is. And, you know, there ought to be a way to just scan that car's tags in front of you, or some put a barcode on the back. I mean, I don't want to go full on RoboCop with it, but you know, you basically see somebody do something. I like to refer to it as stunt driving. And then you know, you can give them a couple, you know, 2-star hits or whatever. And look, the opposite is also true, which is, hey, some courteous driver, you can give him a 5-star, you know, just give him a good reward.
It's sort of like the Uber Lyft rating, you know, whether you get the right, hey, Uber Lyft, you know, hey, www.partscounterguru.com there. There's a little pitch for you.
Yeah, there you go. And so 1 or 2 feedback responses aren't going to make a difference. You're not going to lose your driver's license. But I think... you know, over the course of hundreds of these type reviews and you start to see patterns, well, now maybe we go out to our car And during busy times and high accident times, your car just isn't going to start. Too many negative reviews, right? So
I like where you're going with this.
And you know, let's do some perks to, you know, like if you get, you know, if you're above 4.5 stars and you maintain that rating, you've got access to a special lane, and it's called the
the distracted driver's lane.
I'm not gonna be no. I meant on the positive side. So you know, if you maintain a high rating, you get access to. So it's perks, right?
The express lane. Yes.
Yeah. So So let somebody out there get to work on this. You know, let's get to work on this. Let's make it happen. And I'm all for, you know, I know that this is the man kind of controlling your car and all that. But hey, if you maintain a high enough rating for a long enough amount of time, you can opt out. You know, you can graduate from having to deal with all this, and we'll put you in the express lane. So let's get busy, people. I know some of you out there have the brain power to figure this out.
There's a way to do that. Yeah, and you got to have some sort of rating system. I mean, to get a 5-star rating, man, where would you put that type of a, how would one achieve a 5-star rating? I mean, is it just going to be that guy that's patient and lets you in when you need to get in?
I'd give a guy 5 stars for that. Sure.
Yeah, it's more of less of like a.
That's one of Jay's three rules of good driving, right? Is be patient.
Yeah. Patience is it, and that's every day, whether it's snowing, raining, dry, whatever. Patience is the key. So so that's a 5-star. So what gets you a 1-star rating? That's what gets you there.
Like, I'm not going to draw on any specific examples, per se, but maybe going through a construction zone where there's been signs that the lane you're merging into is closing for the past mile and a half, and say maybe I'm in like a 40-foot RV pulling an 18-foot trailer that weighs 40,000 pounds, and you're going to try to race me and get in front of me before that lane closes, and you're 6 inches from my, because I, you know, it's pretty tough to stop a 20-ton rig in, you know, 10 feet and or 100 feet for that matter. And you're gonna be roadkill, I promise you that, before I will. I'm not drawn on any specific examples from the past few days or anything per se.
Oh.
But
no personal experiences,
not at all. But that would get you a 1-star in my mind. Now, bonus points, like negative stars, if you're driving a church bus and you do it, like, ooh, one of those little short, you know, like, you know, and you just,
right.
I mean,
the shuttle bus, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It was a shuttle. I mean, I, you know, theoretically.
Theoretically, I get you. Yeah. No. That's good. Okay, so you get a rating system. I like that. I like there needs to be something out there like that. And
well,
what's nice is that when you do good, it kind of offsets all the lower ratings you get. So somewhere, you hope to be in the middle to upper pack of that.
Sure.
That driver's rating. And what you could do with that, here's an idea with that, is if they're affiliated, if you register with your insurance company, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you get these high ratings, it could be an incentive to get a reduction in your, it's real time. So there you go.
I'm all about positive rewards and motivation tools. And, look, if it's legal for people to put those people that have gotten DUIs and they have that thing on their car where they gotta like blow into it before the car will start or whatever, I assume those still exist, I don't know, but if those things are legal, then this kind of a system,
oh, yeah.
I mean, basically the same thing. So I mean, you know, I would think we could use that example as leverage to get this passed. All right. So, any more?
Yeah, I would think so.
Any
more?
It would
be great. I think it's awesome.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Preparedness. Yeah?
Yeah.
We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
You know, not only for your car, but for yourself. You know, you may have to get out of that car when you're not patient and you hit someone in front of you.
Wait a second. So,
and you might.
So you're saying that I shouldn't, on an inclement weather day, I shouldn't dress in my Magnum PI shirt, flip-flops, and shorts in my
unless
brand
you're
new 2018 Jeep Renegade?
Correct. You should, unless you're a glutton for punishment on a cold day like that. Yeah, I would highly recommend preparing for that. And that's I see that a lot. People are outside of their car after they've run into the back of someone, or someone's run into the back of them. They don't have a jacket. You know, they don't have a pair of boots on. They got dress shoes. They're in a suit. You know, thanks. So, and like, you know, survivalist. Be a survivalist when it comes to that, because you may have to be a survivalist.
That's really good advice. It requires a certain adult level of preparedness. I don't know that what you're proposing is ever going to be 100% obtained, but we could certainly aim for it.
Yeah. Honestly, it's I consider myself a good driver in this, and I have witnessed and been involved in these incidents, and I can tell you there's been certain times where I wished I had that extra jacket and extra pair of gloves, or at least a dry pair of socks to put on.
So, okay, so incoming. I've got two more questions for you here. So, any chance we could get you to post a brief helpful tips type post on partscounterguru.com to reference kind of some of these great suggestions that you put in front of us? Is that in the cards?
Absolutely there is. Yes, in a future date we'll put something out for you guys and we'll let you know. It'll be posted up on our website.
And where should I go to look for those?
www.partscounterguru.com.
Okay.
And if you'll scroll down the page, you'll see helpful videos. We'll have it posted there. You can actually write in a question as well if you have questions about preparedness or anything.
Gotcha. Okay. So these have been some pretty good common sense tips that I think are often not not communicated enough. Any other things that you think are important to put out there in these kinds of situations that maybe the world should know, or at least our audience?
Yeah, like, well, sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, let's go back to the survivalist mode. If you're out there, and you need to make sure you have plenty of gas in the car for sure. I mean, these are things that are going to save your day. These are things that are going to make things a lot more comfortable for you at the end of the day if you follow all these things. You know, if you by chance cannot find gas and you run out of gas, what are you going to do if you are hungry?
I'm going to call AAA.
Well, you could call AAA, but the chances are it's going to be a long time before they get there, because there's going to be a lot of people like you out there that are unprepared.
I see. So you mean actually everybody else is going to be calling AAA too, and that guy doesn't have a helicopter, so that means they have to drive in the same conditions that I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought about that. That's it's interesting.
It is interesting. Yes, it is. It's very interesting. So, you know, these are helpful hints to get you through life, you know, and this is only one topic. Winter driving, you know, let's face it, we're getting into the winter season. However, Keith, you're sitting in sunny weather and it's, you know, I doubt you're going to have that issue, but where you're at actually has had some inclement weather there before. Freezing type precipitation.
I would contend that where it doesn't happen as often, when you get it, it's more of a circus, because the level of freak outness is just off the charts.
Well, here's a simple question. When it is an environment, frozen precipitation type environment, and you think you have to get out in it, or you do have to go to work, and you've left yourself with ample time to get to where you're going, and you're all prepared. At which point would you say, no, I'm not going forward. I can't do this. This is not good. I shouldn't be on the road. I don't want to kill myself or anybody else around me. Where do you draw the line?
So that's a really interesting question for a number of reasons. And I would say that I would draw it at anything less important than bread. Like, if I need a loaf of bread, I gotta go. I think you know, in my mind, family safety comes first, survival, safety, then the safety and survival of those that I am indirectly responsible for. So, meaning if there's a little old lady that lives across the street and she can't get her heart medicine, blood pressure medicine, I might, you know, depending on the circumstances, I might try to take a chance for something like that. You know, if I'm not about to lose my job over it, or lose something, you know, major, it's not worth it. But I would also like to point out that along that path of logic that you presented, you're responsible for the people around you, jackass. And not you. I'm not calling you a jackass. I'm just
well, I am sometimes. I can be anyway.
Well, my
wife pinned a tail on me the other night, you know.
I'm going to have to edit that out. But,
oh, that's a donkey. That's a donkey.
Right. But there is a level of responsibility when you get in that automobile that weighs several tons and you turn the key and it's aimed like a missile at somebody on ice, that you are responsible for not just what's in your behind the seat of your 735 IS, but everybody around you. Okay, so let's be courteous and patient. Maiming or worse, somebody else, that's going to follow you around for the rest of your life, and nobody wants that. So that's the end of my downer sermon. But
well, very true, and you're right. That's good, but it's good piece of advice there, no doubt about it, man. I mean, and that is the thing. You have to be the best judgment caller. You know your skills at driving in those conditions. Everybody should know that, okay? And be prepared for that. I think the biggest of the three things is the preparedness aspect of this, period. You have to be prepared. And I'm gonna take that a little further, is that if you don't have a contingency plan at your place of business, then be bold enough to speak to the leadership in that company and talk to them about days that are inclement to get out, and how do we deal with those. And become, what you need to do is separate groups. There's what we call essential personnel, and there's non-essential personnel. If you're a non-essential personnel, then it's automatically a given. If they've sent the word out that, you know, you call in and it's non-essential personnel, stay off the roads, don't come in, then don't go in, you know. There's going to be contingencies in place for those individuals. It may be that you've agreed upon you have to use a personal day, or if the office closes, it may be a free day. You know, it just depends. It depends on your company, but I would highly recommend that you talk to someone within your organization those plans are for days like that, and don't wait till the day that it snows to find out what you're supposed to do.
So, have you ever, in the history of your time here on planet Earth, have you ever heard of someone in that non-essential personnel category getting a promotion because they showed up on a snow day, and risk the lives of not just them but the people around them in order to, because I know where people's heads are. They're gaming for some corporate advancement if they're the guy that shows up, right? It's just not worth it, right?
And you, often it's somebody's trying to, you know, impress someone that they got in over somebody else. Well, you know what? At the end of the day, you know, nobody, honestly, I don't, they're not paying attention to that. They're actually, the people that are in are essential personnel, and they're actually worried about how they're going to get home safely to their family.
Yeah. So, newsflash, guys. So the people running things, they don't think like that. They're not looking around going, well, who's here that, you know, doesn't have to be that I could, you know, always count on. No. They're worried about people dying on their watch. That's what they're worried about. And you've just added to that list.
Right.
Preparedness people.
So, and as a matter of fact, if you're not sure where to start with this, drop us a note. Hit us on the contact us page on partscounterguru.com, and we'll offer your boss some tips free of charge.
Absolutely, I would free of charge. Yes.
All right, so let's wrap this up here. Any closing thoughts on our topic of the show?
I just want to say, slow down, people. That's what I want to say. Be safe. Respect the people around you. We want to see you another day.
Okay. I think that's fantastic advice. I just want to say partscounterguru.com/Patreon if you'd like to be a supporter. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time saying partscounterguru.com today, but I am. Sorry, folks. If you want to follow us, sorry, go ahead, Jay.
It's the wind in your hair.
It must be. It must be. Yeah. It's this non-winter climate I'm dealing with here. Fan page at facebook.com/partscountergurus with an S, gurus, G-U-R-U-S. We do random drawings at random times, as I like to say, for our Patreon supporters, where we give away cool free crap. So make sure that you are signed up as a supporter.
We've got an area for you to ask us a question. You can go in and ask questions. If you need help with a technical problem, you can shoot us a line. There's a spot for you there. We'll get back to you. If you're looking for a hard to find part, we can certainly help you there. And the list goes on and on and on. I mean, this is an actual just, it's a cache of information, man. We're there for you, people.
So, how about this? How about this is kind of top of my list. If you are liking what you're hearing or seeing, and you appreciate it, the best way you can thank us right now is to tell a friend about us. So, give them the link to the website. Tell them about the podcast. There's a link to the podcast on the website. And just tell somebody you like, and if it's a bad driver, maybe tell somebody you don't like about us, and we'll help you out there.
Exactly, and share, like and share.
All right. So until next time, that is Jay. I am Keith, and remember to keep air in the spare and stay out of my lane, people.
Peace. I think you should do it this time, and I think it's quite appropriate that we're going to talk about winter driving and you're sitting on the coast of Florida.
Yeah.